Gas prices are up, but hotels are also less expensive than last year. That's according to the AAA's Leisure Travel Index. The AAA, they're monitoring all the numbers for us, keeping an eye on the trend lines as we head into the biggest start to the summer vacation season that we've seen in over a decade. We're getting our bearings on the open road for this Memorial Day weekend, hoping it's more open than stop and go. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's go to the source. Nick Jarmus is Public Affairs Director for AAA. His work includes overseeing community affairs, traffic safety advocacy, and corporate citizenship efforts, and talking with people like us. Nick, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're seeing some big numbers coming out on this Memorial Day weekend. What does that all mean? How do they stack up and compare from the old data from previous years?
Sure. This is the biggest start to the season we've seen in over a dozen years, since 2005. When we had about 44 million Americans traveling. This year, we're expecting a little less than 42 million Americans traveling at least 50 miles or more from home at some point during the weekend. So some of that may be day trips, you know, folks going to their local state park or state trail.
Their in-laws
visiting family. But some of that may also be, folks heading out on interstate road trips, you know, taking advantage of the longer weekend to get that first vacation of the summer kicked off.
When you have that many people out traveling, is it congested? Is it going to be a lot of stop and go out there?
It will be, particularly if you're driving through any major metropolitan areas or construction zones. Now, traditionally, the state DOT does try to suspend work in the construction zone, so there may not be workers present, and they'll try to reopen as many lanes as they safely can to keep traffic flowing. But you may still have, you know, spots, especially along like 39 or other places where they're doing major projects, where there will be fewer lanes available. And even though the workers aren't there, we do encourage folks to drive very safely, very carefully, still continue to follow the lower work zone speed limits that are there, because there may be uneven pavement or unusual lane configurations, and we want people to be as safe as possible.
And stay off those phones and the texting.
Absolutely, especially in the work zones. Higher fines, and you have to be completely hands-free in the work zones.
Well, also brings us to idling. The majority of travelers use cars, and they'll pay the most expensive Memorial Day gas prices since 2014. So what's behind the increase?
Well, we're seeing a simple supply and demand equation playing out. There's more people driving more often as the economy continues to improve. More people are working. That's more people doing a daily commute, as well as having the disposable income to take leisure travel. So that means there's more people buying more gas. At the same time, there's been a reduction in the production of oil, based on an OPEC agreement that went into force about 18 months ago. And we're seeing that continue to play out. So there's less available oil and more people trying to buy it, and that's leading to higher prices.
So do you see prices edging up even as we get into the thick of the weekend?
They probably will. And in fact, you know, we traditionally see kind of an arc throughout the year where prices will begin to rise in the spring, plateau sometime in the midsummer, and then begin to fall as we head towards the fall and winter. We may not see that same curve play out. We may see higher prices stick with us longer, especially if the Trump administration does reimpose sanctions on Iran. That'll continue to shrink the supply of oil that's available in the market.
Nick Jarmus is with us. He's Public Affairs Director for AAA. We are getting the forecast for the Memorial Day weekend, the travel forecast, looking at what roads will be like, tips on travel, and your thoughts as well. 800-642-1234. Are you traveling during Memorial Day weekend? Where are you going? How are you traveling? By car? By plane? Do you perhaps rent a car for your holiday weekend travel? Why is that? And how are you planning to deal with the higher gas prices? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Nick, these gas prices, they're not deterring travelers not staying home. So what do you think travelers are willing to pay? Are they willing to pay more money, or what's going on here?
You know, traditionally, we don't see people changing their behavior when it comes to driving until you're well into the upper $3, pushing that $4 a gallon mark.
And, really?
And, you know, it's easy to forget that, you know, even though these are the highest prices we've seen in about 4 or 5 years, you know, within this decade, we've seen those kind of prices, the $4 a gallon prices. And people were able to pay those, and they did, you know, cut back, and we did see a dramatic reduction in travel, not just because of gas prices, but because of the recession in general. But
around 2009,
around 2009, mm-hmm, you know, at the, mm-hmm, to kick off the decade. But we know that in this case, you know, folks are going to be able to absorb those costs. Most folks, at least, will be able to absorb those costs. As you mentioned at the top of the newscast, the other travel-related indexes are all down. So if they are renting a car, they're going to pay less for that. If they're staying in a hotel, they're on average going to be spending less than they did last year if they did any hotel trips. So they're going to be able to do that. They can also cut simple costs like, you know, stopping more at fast food than sit-down restaurants, or you know, cutting a day off of their trip instead of abandoning the trip altogether. You know, depending on where you're going, unless you're taking a huge, you know, cross-country trip, you're probably looking at somewhere about an extra $20 to maybe $30 a gallon, depending on what kind of vehicle you're driving and how far you're going. But that's something that, you know, in the grand scheme of a big vacation budget, you can probably find ways to make that up elsewhere.
So when you look at these other areas where the costs are down, you said hotel prices are down a bit, rental car down a bit. How much and what are some of these other areas?
Hotels are down about 14% less than they were last year. So that's a pretty significant drop. The average hotel rate for a two-diamond hotel, AAA rated, is about $186 per night. That's for a three-diamond. For a two-diamond hotel, it's about 7% less than it was last Memorial Day weekend. So that's a pretty significant savings you can realize there. Car rental fees are averaging about $59 a day, which is the lowest it's been in the last 4 years, about 11% cheaper than last year. So that's another significant area of savings that people can realize. And then also, if they're AAA members, we have a lot of ways that we can also help them save money with our discounts and rewards program, using their card for stays at hotels and dining and even retail throughout their trip.
And you say in the area of dining, people are pulling over and doing more fast food than they would be in sit-down settings?
We don't know that. Okay. We don't have data on that, but we just know that that's one of those flexible options within your trip. So if you're, you know, if you're loading up the family and taking a road trip, you know, maybe pulling over, you know, for McDonald's instead of, you know, Chili's or, you know, something like that. So, some way to economize other areas so that you can absorb those higher gas costs.
What tips do you have for us for conserving gas as we travel and hit the road and put in a lot of miles?
Sure. One of the best things you can do to conserve gas while you're driving is to follow the speed limit, which also has the added benefit of being much safer, and can also save you money by not risking getting a ticket either.
There you go.
But even at 70 miles an hour on the interstate, which is the posted speed limit in most places, you're already getting suboptimal fuel efficiency for your vehicle. And the faster you go above that, the less fuel efficiency you're going to realize. So by sticking as close as possible to that speed limit, you can save a little bit, make sure that you're stretching those dollars more. We also have a really neat feature on AAA's mobile app that's available to everyone. You don't have to be a member to use this feature, where you can look for live gas prices in real time. So that way you're not using gas to drive around looking for a cheaper gas price. You can find where is it the cheapest and then head straight there.
Oh, so it kind of pops up on your route and
you can
kind of zoom out maybe? Mm-hmm. Is that?
Well, you could zoom out along your route. You can also, you know, depending on where you are in the area. So, for example, you know, I live here in the Madison area, and sometimes, you know, it's a matter of, well, is it worth driving all the way to Costco to get the cheaper gas there? You know, it's about a 15-minute drive from my house, but if it's not so many cents cheaper than the local, you know, stations in town, it's not really worth driving there just for that. So you can look for that ahead of time before making the trip and finding out that, well, it's actually not that much cheaper.
Some more numbers from AAA. The volume of people in the U.S. traveling has increased by 6 million since 2014 and 11 million since 2009, when we were in the depths of the Great Recession. Holiday prices at the pump projected to be the highest in 4 years. As we talk with Nick Jarmus, he is Public Affairs Director for AAA. You can join in with your Memorial Day travel plans, your questions, 800-642-1234. Are you flying instead of driving, or vice versa? Are higher gas prices keeping you at home? What do you do to prepare for Memorial Day travel? And drivers, how do you cope with or avoid the traffic headaches? How do you stay safe when you travel? 800-642-1234. Your questions, your tips, ideas at WPR.org. We'll get back to the conversation after a news update here on the Ideas Network. Gas Buddy has a new survey out this week of more than 17,000 people. Only 58% said they will be taking a road trip this summer, and that's down 24% from last year. Most of the respondents said those high gas prices were the culprit for not wanting to go somewhere this summer. But AAA still expects an additional 2 million people will take to planes, trains, and automobiles and other modes of transport this weekend. Patience will be a virtue, as travel delays on major roads could be 2 to 3 times longer than normal. We're talking Memorial Day weekend plans, trends, the latest numbers with AAA's Public Affairs Director Nick Jarmus here. You can join in with your questions, your tips on traveling on a budget this weekend, 800-642-1234. Are you perhaps flying instead of driving, or vice versa? Are the higher gas prices keeping you at home? And what do you do to prepare for Memorial Day travel? And drivers, how do you cope with or avoid the traffic? 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Nick, what do we know about air travel this coming weekend? Are the airports going to be jam-packed?
They will be. And in fact, we're expecting a larger increase in air travel than other modes of transportation this year, or even overall. About 7% more folks will be flying this Memorial Day compared to last year. And that's partly because airfares are about 7% lower than they were at this time last year. And just as the economy picks up, people have a little more disposable income, it becomes a viable option for more people. And if it's more convenient to fly and they have the money to do it, then they're more likely to do it, obviously.
Well, our producer, Brianne Shasso, is going to be traveling to southern Minnesota over Memorial Weekend, and she's trying to beat the traffic by leaving early Sunday and returning to us here in Madison late Monday. Can you talk to us about peak traffic times and how we can avoid those?
Well, we're definitely expecting that today, Thursday, and tomorrow, Friday afternoon rush hours will probably be the worst of the traffic volume and congestion, because you're going to have a mix of folks who are getting a jump start, heading out early for their weekend, as well as those who are still doing their daily commutes. As we head, deeper into the weekend, Saturday and Sunday probably won't be as high a volume, but Monday will be much higher, and even Sunday you will have a lot of people that are trying to get a jump on that as well on their return trip home to avoid the worst of it. But I would say, regardless of when during the weekend you're traveling, expect to see some extra volume, much heavier than typical volume on the roadway, and just leave early, pack a lot of patience, and just, have a mindset about that so that you don't run into a situation where you're falling behind your expected arrival time and things like that, because that can lead you to become agitated and then a more aggressive and thus a less safe driver.
Well, let's look at safety during this weekend. As we were talking before the show, I have a neighbor who has one of those roadside assistance AAA cars, and I see him going all hours of the night with his reflective gear on and going out to help travelers who need roadside assistance. So what, first of all, can we do to make sure our cars are ready to go before we hit the road?
If you have the time to take it in to an approved or certified mechanic, have it a once over, That can really head off a lot of issues. You know, preventative maintenance, just like with health or you know, your physical health, preventative maintenance on a vehicle is always going to be cheaper and much better than, you know, doing emergency maintenance on it. So getting those things checked out ahead of time, even if you're not able to do that, you can kind of check a few key things yourself, such as the tires, the battery. You may not, even if you can't do it yourself, most auto parts stores will help test a battery for you. And then your engine coolant. Those three things are really some of the most common issues that we see, especially as we kick off this first, you know, weekend of the road trip season. Maybe people haven't been driving their cars for extended distances, you know, for the last, you know, 6 or 7 months during the winter. So those are the issues that typically go wrong.
And we can also lock ourselves out of our vehicles. That seems to be our absent-mindedness turns on for Memorial Day weekend.
Lockouts continue to be one of our top calls, actually. A lot of people still leave those keys in there. And
well, what do you do? I mean, when you see that they've been left in the car, you're locked out, what is the protocol?
You know, hopefully you haven't locked your phone in there as well, because then you may be in an even tougher situation. But lockouts are one of the services that our technicians can come do. There's a number of services that our roadside providers can come and do to help get you going. You know, a lot of people think of AAA, you know, the tow truck to come and tow you. We always view that as the last resort. You know, we don't want to tow you. We want to help get your car going so that you can continue on your trip, continue to make your plans. We only tow your vehicle if we absolutely have to.
Yeah, so what are some of the things you can do on the roadside change a tire, of course, would come to mind, but what are some other things?
Well, and the important thing to remember on the roadside is that it's a very dangerous situation. And we saw actually just yesterday, here in Madison, there was a school bus crash with a school bus that had pulled over onto the shoulder of the interstate because it was experiencing mechanical issues and ended up getting rear-ended by a semi. And you can imagine, that it's a very dangerous situation for any motorist to be pulled over on the side of the road while cars are, you know, whizzing past at 70-plus miles an hour, many of them unfortunately driven by distracted drivers or possibly impaired drivers. So if you do experience a mechanical issue, you need to pull over. First thing is to get as far off of the road as possible, as far away from the travel lanes as you can, and then make yourself as visible as possible by putting on your emergency lights or your emergency flashers. If you happen to have, you know, any flares or anything you could put up, you could pop your hood, which kind of seems like a strange thing to do. You know, even if you're not going to try and get in there and look at the engine, just because that, adds a bit of additional visibility for your vehicle on the roadside. But we really recommend staying in your vehicle and staying buckled in case you do end up getting struck by a passing vehicle, and calling for help, you know, whether it's your roadside assistance provider like AAA, or even, you know, just calling the emergency number, calling 911, so that they can at least send out a emergency response vehicle that can, again, pull up behind you, and they can help provide a lot of additional visibility with their extra lights and directional signals that are equipped on their vehicles.
So besides the tires, what are some lockouts, what are some things that you can do to get the car rolling and going again?
Well, batteries is another key thing. And again, it's one of those issues where after the winter, you may have lost a lot of battery life. And we can either, you know, jump it, or we can even sell a battery on the roadside through our service provider network. And you don't even have to be a AAA member to take advantage of that service. That way, again, you don't have to abandon your whole road trip plans or detour off to a service center. You can just get your battery installed right there on the roadside and then get going to your destination.
We are talking all things travel as we head into this Memorial Day weekend. AAA expecting to rescue more than 340,000 motorists who break down over this weekend. Those are big numbers. I was going to say, I mean, you know, it's going to be a casual weekend for AAA, not in the least.
No, your neighbor's going to be very busy. For sure.
We we are looking at the numbers and talking travel with Nick Jarmus. He is the Public Affairs Director for AAA, and you can join in with your questions, your tips on how you travel over Memorial Day weekend, 800-642-1234. I bet you have a story to share. Where are you going for Memorial Day weekend? How are you preparing for your trip? And what is your best Memorial Day travel experience? What was less than the best? And what did you learn that you have taken with you as you go in future Memorial Day travel plans? 800-642-1234. As we brainstorm with you, you can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Nick, younger travelers are also expected to make an impact on the roads. What are you watching for there?
Well, we know that, you know, Memorial Day is traditionally the kickoff of the summer, you know, road trip or summer travel season. And we're expecting this to be the start of a very big season with about 88 million Americans will be taking a trip at some point throughout the summer. So a lot of them will be, you know, taking advantage of this first weekend to do it. But throughout the summer, a lot more of them will be traveling. And millennials really leading the way, with almost half of millennials saying that they are planning a family trip of some kind. And it's really heartwarming to see that, you know, now that a lot of them are starting young families of their own, they're carrying on those traditions of travel and getting out there and experiencing both, you know, the country throughout the U.S. and even internationally as well.
Do we know anything about the travel tendencies of millennials and Gen Xers?
Well, we know that they tend to be more interested in what would be called experiential travel. So they want to go places they've never been before. They want to do things and not just, you know, see the typical sights. They want to experience the way different cultures live. They want to see what are the local hotspots, not necessarily the tourist traps and things like that.
And so what about in terms of, do they still really go by cars, or are they looking at other modes of transportation? Do we know that?
You know, they do both, you know, so some of them will, you know, use ride sharing services. Some of them will use different modes of transportation. But for the most part, you know, they're flying when they need to or if they can afford to. But they are also taking to the road and doing the classic road trips as well. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Mary joining us from Pewaukee. Hi, Mary. Oh, are you there, Mary?
Hi.
Hi,
Mary.
Yeah.
I wanted to just say that there is, well, it will be Memorial Day, my husband's commenting. hi. The magic wand on the steering column, perhaps your guests can mention that people should use that. And I actually have a question. Is that a law? Can a police officer give a ticket to someone? Not only have I seen many times where someone is not using their blinker and they're moving from one lane on the freeway to the other, and then another car is also going, you know, from the far other lane, and they almost collide. And it's happened to me a few times where I'm using mine and they aren't. But, and also, not only on the freeway, but motorcyclists, bicyclists, and even pedestrians really need that blinker to know what that driver is planning on doing and if they would look twice before they move over. That's just a comment, and my pet peeve.
Well, Mary, I appreciate you calling in, and she's seeing people weaving through traffic.
Yeah, you know, and that's a common pet peeve, you know, people not using their blinker. That it is required, you know, that you need to signal lane changes or turns. Law enforcement can pull you over for that, and it, you know, failing to do so can also be very dangerous, you know, both to other drivers on the road and especially pedestrians and bicyclists, as she mentioned, you know, the most vulnerable roadway users. We need to be extra cautious of them. We know here in Wisconsin, we actually did a survey about bicycle riding and found that 41% of bicyclists in the state say that the road is their primary place that they ride. So not as opposed to trails or in parks, they do share the road with motorists in high numbers. And we all need to be aware of that and be safely sharing the road.
So what advice do you have for people who are planning their next vacation? Whether it's booking early or getting some help, how should we go about planning that vacation?
Well, one of the things we would always recommend is working with a travel agent. And that's, a lot of people think that's, with all the online deals and services, like, why would you need to do that? I can do those services myself. But, our travel agents, like the ones we have at AAA, can also help throughout the trip. So, if you book a trip, you book a flight, something happens, you're running late, or the flight gets canceled, you're not stranded at the airport or scrambling to figure these things out yourself, at the last minute. You can reach out to your travel agency and say, okay, my flight was canceled. And they can kind of help you iron things out and
it's kind of like you have an ally.
Exactly. When anyone who's been stranded at the airport for a canceled flight knows how stressful and hectic that could be, and to be able to call some outside assistance that can help you get things straightened out and get things back on track for your trip is invaluable. We can also offer travel insurance and trip interruption insurance, so if something happens to you while you're on your trip, and you either have to stay longer because you're hospitalized suffer some sort of injury or emergency while you're on your trip, you can recoup costs that may be incurred by those situations, whereas otherwise you'd be left trying to pay those out of pocket.
How early should you book?
As early as you can. There is a cutoff, that you can only book so far in advance, particularly for hotels and flights. But the sooner that you can get in there, you're typically going to see better rates. You're typically going to see more options as well before things book up or fill up, both flights or hotel-wise. But also, that just gives you more time also to explore all the possibilities that you have and do as much research as you can before you head out on your trip.
Yeah. What about knowing your destination, really having a good grounding as to where you're going?
Absolutely. Knowing the destination, knowing the process of getting there. So we know, especially for flying, if you haven't flown recently, folks who maybe only fly once a year or every other year for a vacation, we know that the security procedures are almost constantly changing and being updated at the airport. And knowing what they are in advance, knowing, for example, what you can and can't bring and carry on luggage, can help speed things up. Also, the pre-check option is very nice. Most people think of pre-check as, well, that's for, really frequent flyers, business people that are constantly in and out of airports. Pre-check can be very, very valuable for families who may be going on a vacation, and especially if you've got younger ones and you're trying to corral them through the airport to not have to worry about standing in line with them for a prolonged period of time, which kids love standing in line. to just get through the process as quickly as possible can save a lot of headaches for parents as well.
And I always say, weigh that bag at home before you even walk out that door.
That's, the airports or the airlines and TSA, they're all very good about, posting that information so that you can see ahead of time, what are the limitations on what you can bring, what kinds of bags, things like that. It's just a matter of, you need to go out there and find it so that you do know and aren't caught off guard when you arrive.
And so many of these airlines now, too, especially on the lower budget, no-frills airlines, they're really making you do a lot of this stuff before, printing out your tickets or having them on your phone or doing all that beforehand. Otherwise, you're going to get hit up with fees.
Yeah, again, knowing what those fees are in advance and trying to, that's another way that travel agents can assist, because sometimes when you're trying to book things online yourself, those fees can be tucked away or pop up unexpectedly, and they can give you a better sense of what the whole cost of the trip or the flight is going to cost.
We are talking Memorial Weekend travel here on The Morning Show, and dead batteries, lockouts, and flat tires will be the leading reasons why drivers will experience car trouble this weekend. We're combing through the numbers, hearing how your Memorial Day weekend is shaping up. You can join in 800-642-1234. We're talking with Public Affairs Director Nick Jarmus, our guide, and getting your thoughts about road trips in the mix. Email ideas at WPR.org. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. How do you stay safe while you travel? Bicyclists, are you getting on the road? What do you want motorists to know about safety? Join us. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. AAA says before you hit the road, make sure your vehicle is ready for the journey on this Memorial Day weekend. We're covering the basics of travel this holiday weekend here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The acronym is BET, battery tested, looking for engine coolant leaks, and checking tire condition. According to AAA, more than 41.5 million Americans will travel this Memorial Day weekend, nearly 5% more than last year, and the most in more than a dozen years. AAA's spokesperson Nick Jarmus is here helping us out on the plans. He's our guide, gathering your questions, your tips on how you keep travel organized, safe, and efficient. 800-642-1234. Bicyclists, are you getting on the road? What do you want motorists to know about safety? We also want to know, do you have an electric or hybrid car? Why did you get it? And are you thinking about getting an electric car or a hybrid as for you, more travel? What concerns you about electric cars? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Nick, now that the weather is really warm, we see a lot more bicycles on the roads, and May is National Bicycle Safety Month. What should we know about the state for bicycle incidents here in Wisconsin?
Well, we know that bicycling is very popular in Wisconsin, and as I said earlier, about 41% of bicycle owners say that they ride primarily on the road. As opposed to trails or in parks. And it's important for all of us to be conscious of them and share the road safely with them. And there's a lot of shared responsibility that goes on there. Visibility is an important factor in the game for cyclists to make sure that they're staying visible, wearing brightly colored clothing. If they're riding at night or at dusk, having not just reflectors, but also lights that generate their own light can be very helpful.
What about blinking?
I'm not sure exactly what the requirements or rules are on that, but something that generates its own light is helpful. Wearing a helmet. Also highly recommended. On the driver's side of the equation, staying focused on the road, not being distracted is very important. And also just looking out for cyclists. You know, we tend to kind of sometimes mentally go into autopilot when we're driving, and we, you know, we hear the same thing a lot in the motorcycling community about just look for motorcycles. You know, it's not something, cyclists, whether it's motorcycles or bicycles, are easy to kind of just gloss over if you're not looking for them. So just be conscious that they are going to be out there sharing the road and make sure you're double checking for them as well. We know that the majority of vehicle on cyclist crashes occur at intersections. And a lot of it comes down to confusion or just a matter of people are turning and, you know, they kind of just use their peripheral vision. They don't see a car there, so they think it's safe to turn. Make sure you're taking an extra long glance to see if there is a cyclist there or a motorcycle as well.
And, you know, cyclists, too, can perhaps be distracted, thinking that, you know, they can cut across here or they're trying to just get to somewhere a little bit more quickly. So it can also go both ways where the driver just doesn't see that person going in, not the same flow that traffic is going.
That's correct. I mean, cyclists have every right to be on the road, but they also have to follow the responsibilities of being on the road and follow the standard road rules as well as a few specific ones that are there for cyclists.
So what is the role of motorcyclists on the road? How should we, you know, look at motorcyclists, and are we seeing people heading out on their motorcycles for this holiday weekend?
We don't have any data on it, but we do know anecdotally. You see them, you hear them more, especially in Wisconsin. Again, very popular, both as a leisure travel or a leisure activity, as well as folks who use them for their primary transportation, whether that's because they enjoy driving or riding the motorcycle more than they enjoy driving, or for fuel efficiency purposes. It's cheaper to own and operate, and so it's a better option for them to get back and forth for work for some folks.
Well, I often wonder just how they can get their stuff packed together so compactly to, you know, get from point A to point B for a trip. I'm just thinking, you know, me in the minivan, just looking at that in awe.
Mm-hmm. I've been at the hardware store and see them buy, you know, seeing people load bags of topsoil for their garden, you know, onto the back of a scooter or something, and they make it work.
Well, what about fuel efficiency when it comes to perhaps putting a bike on the back, or you might have some cargo on the top of your vehicle? Where are we at with that?
Well, that is a point to consider. You know, any additional weight that you're putting on top of the vehicle or in the vehicle can reduce the fuel efficiency. And in fact, we did a study a few years ago about the fact that some auto manufacturers are actually leaving out the spare tire from new vehicle models as part of a way to increase the fuel efficiency rating of the vehicle and meet the CAFE standards. So that's something that we advised motor or auto buyers over the last few years, is to make sure when you're buying a new vehicle, check to see if it does have a spare tire. And, you know, if you have a vehicle maybe that you've bought recently and didn't think to ask that when you first bought it, double check to make sure, just so that you are aware of what you have and don't have possibly on board. But that extra weight can reduce your fuel efficiency for sure.
You also look at, you know, what, how can you make your car more aerodynamic? How can, you know, what can you do to just reduce any type of lag on the vehicle? I know top carriers were such a huge thing in the 1980s, 70s, 80s. People were, going around in their station wagons with top carriers. But now we know that that's just not efficient.
Yeah, that and even, it's supposed to be a little bit warmer this weekend. Probably folks may be already turning on the AC in their vehicle. Using the AC in your vehicle can reduce your fuel efficiency as well. And the extent to which it does will sometimes vary by your vehicle make and model. But there is, if you really are trying to maximize your fuel efficiency, every little bit and helps and things like that, not putting anything on top of the vehicle that'll cause air drag, not putting on your AC, which is going to overwork or make the engine have to work a little bit harder.
And AAA released a new survey which shows that 20% or 50 million Americans will likely go electric for their next vehicle purchase, and that's up from 15% in 2017. What is the takeaway there?
Well, one of the big takeaways is the idea of range anxiety. That's been the number one obstacle to electric vehicles. Folks who are concerned about whether they can get their daily commute done without having to stop and recharge. And as battery technologies have expanded or improved, more people are seeing these, average ranges go up, and that makes it a better option or a possibility for them to say, well, if I can get back and forth to work comfortably without worrying that I'm going to run out of charge before I get home, they're more likely to consider it as an option. We are seeing more and more folks doing that.
Is affordability a factor here? Is that coming into play?
That could be. We do know most electric vehicles will have a higher upfront cost, but there are savings that can be realized over the life of the vehicle. So, if it is a vehicle you're planning on owning for a long time, you can actually look at it as a long-term investment by not having to worry about fluctuating gasoline prices or things like that. And there are other maintenance issues that you'll have with a traditional engine that you won't have. There'll be some unique issues with electric vehicles for sure, but sometimes those may be less expensive or less frequent to worry about.
Seems we're seeing more of those charging stations popping up at gas stations, popping up at some retail brick-and-mortar stores. Is range anxiety a reality today?
It still is. And again, it just depends on your personal situation, your personal needs. I mean, with any vehicle purchase, people need to consider, a number of different factors, safety features. If you've got a family, is there enough seating for everyone? And is there enough accessible, convenient seating for everyone? Fuel efficiency, is it going to fit in your budget? Things like that. And with electric vehicles, you're adding on that issue of range, because even though we are seeing more and more of those charging stations, they're still nowhere near as, you know, prolific as gas stations are. So depending on where you're heading out, especially if you're heading out on a cross-country road trip, you know, there still is a lot of concern of, you know, where are the charging stations going to be along the way. You may have to do a lot of extra research ahead of time to maybe chart out where those are.
Yeah, are charging stations mapped out in the same way gas is, or is that not up to date yet?
They are. And in fact, on our app, we do list places that have charging stations, although it's not always as complete as it could be. And, you know, they're being added at our pretty quick rate. So sometimes there's a lag time between when someone puts one in and when it can actually be, you know, become a pinpoint on a map for someone. So, you know, a lot of times it's just their own personal knowledge of, I know on my way to work there's, you know, there's charging stations here, here, and here. But when you're talking about, you know, traveling into unfamiliar territory, that does add a little more anxiety into the equation. And we know that sometimes folks who have electric vehicles will then turn around and rent a vehicle for a vacation or a road trip so that they don't have to worry about that.
And finally, are you seeing gas prices different, you know, basically, is it a range across the state, or are they pretty similar if you go from rural to urban?
You know, it's not even a rural to urban split. It's just kind of a regional split. We know Milwaukee has the highest prices in the state right now. But you go to other places, like right now, Green Bay Appleton market is the cheapest. Eau Claire is kind of more on the high side, closer to what Milwaukee prices are. A lot of it has to do more with the distribution of where are they getting the gasoline from. So, you know, there are pipelines and distribution networks that bring the gas from the refineries to the gas stations. And depending on how far you are from a depot in that distribution chain, or where you're coming from, is the gas coming up from refineries in the Chicago area versus Superior or the Twin Cities? The prices can vary based on that.
Well, any final advice here as we wrap up about travel? Anything you can leave us with?
The last thing I want to remind folks is that AAA is offering our Tow2Go program for Memorial Day weekend. So we always encourage folks to plan ahead for a safe trip home if they're going anywhere where there's going to be alcohol served. But if you do find yourself in a situation where the only safe way or the only way you have to get home is by driving your vehicle, you can give us a call. It's an anonymous call. You don't have to be a AAA member to take advantage of this, but we will come pick you up and tow your car back home for you so that you can make it home safely without endangering yourself or others.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you, you too.
Nick Jermis is Public Affairs Director for AAA, and this hour of the morning show is produced by Brianne Chasso. Michael Derringer provided technical direction. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this is the Ideas Network.